From burlesque to motorcycles, from ghost stories to karaoke, a Dogs of Desire concert is a multimedia extravaganza that you'll never forget. Classical chamber ensemble meets rock band. The Albany Symphony's unique 18-member Dogs go where no classical ensemble has ever before.
It's quite a bark. The Albany Symphony American Music Festival's Dogs of Desire concert will be held on Friday, May 16th at 7:30 p.m. There will be a 6 p.m. reception hosted by Maestro David Allen Miller and Grammy Award percussionist Dame Evelyn Glennie prior to the show. The evening's features three world premieres combining dance and music. Along with the three premieres, the ensemble will also perform a Dogs classic, Arthur Bloom's Ostrobotrovics, with guest aerobics instructor Abby Todd. The audience will participate in a Zumba-style aerobics performance.
Yeah, take that at your normal concert. See how far you get at Zumba. And in one of the new pieces, composer Andrea Pinto Cohaya, with a work featuring one of Spain's greatest flamenco dancers, Omaira Omaya, we are joined now by composer Andrea Pinto Cohaya. Am I right? Am I even close?
Yes, very close.
Okay.
Very
close enough.
We tried. Andrea Pinto Cohaya.
Cohaya.
Cohaya. So yes. I don't know if I don't know in my Irish lineage I can do that.
but you have to go south.
Yes, I think I needed to go a little south.
That's the hard Portuguese R, right? The hard Portuguese double R.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cohaya. And also we are joined by Omaira Omaya.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, thank you. And Dogs of Desire and Albany Symphony Bassoonist, and here's the hardest one, Stephen Walt.
You got that.
Thank you very much. And the head dog and the maestro of the Albany Symphony Orchestra, David Allen Miller. And David, thanks for coming back. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So set this up. What do we need to know about the Dogs of Desire and what you've put together here?
Well, the main thing to know is just kind of the premise of the group. This is a concert that's happening tomorrow night at MPAC, 7:30. And it is it's the group that I started when I got here 20-some years ago. I had sort of conceived the idea of a sort of rock band meets new music ensemble, combining the best of the Kronos Quartet with John Williams, Madonna, and Paul Simon's Graceland album, and smushing them all together and making this kind of hip, cool, up-to-date new music ensemble. And so the wonderful thing about Albany is when I got here, I described this to the people here, and they were all like, sure, let's do it. So we founded the group just for no reason other than that it seemed like a fun and funny idea, and it's really grown to be this fascinating, wonderful multimedia ensemble. At the moment, we only do one concert a year, and this is it. And it's the best one we've ever had because we've got these three collaborative works. We have a wonderful support of the Mellon Foundation, and they've allowed us to do these collaborative pieces. And so we've invited Andrea to collaborate with Omaira, her pick. She wanted to do a dance piece about flamenco, even though Andrea is Portuguese and flamenco is Spanish. She obviously feels very close to flamenco, and she'll tell us about that. And then also a fabulous traditional Indian piece, a composer named Reena Ismail has collaborated with a fabulous traditional Indian dancer on a piece all about the Hindu goddess Mirabai. And then also there's an amazing piece, a glam rock piece about the circus by David Malamud. And there's this orchestrobics piece where the whole audience has to participate and dance with Abby Todd, this aerobics instructor. And then lots of other pieces. So it's this freewheeling, fabulous multimedia lighting and incredible dancing. When you see Omaira do flamenco, it's just unbelievable.
Now you really got me interested. When is it again?
It's tomorrow night at 7:30. You can bring your three-year-old grandson. He'd love it.
3 weeks old.
Even better. He won't cry as much. That's good. He'll love it, no question. Yeah, but it's a really cool thing.
You are so articulate. That's what I love about you.
That.
Oh, you are.
Well, I must say that we're very proud about the Dogs. It's not only that our musicians are so fabulous, like Stephen, who I hope will
and
tell
Stephen's
you a little bit about.
It's astounding that a bassoonist is here because I understand that they spend all their time at home whittling out their reeds,
exactly,
you know, making
right.
the reeds
yes.
so that they can yes. play their instruments.
So yeah. It's a wonderful, gracious gesture of his to show up. But the group is just fantastic, and it's like nothing else you'll ever see. It's, in fact, whenever people say to me, what is the perfect audience for The Dog's Desire, I always say, it is the WAMC listener. It's the National Public Radio, WAMC, sophisticated, interesting, person who likes adventure, but is, you know, it's all about sophistication, but fun and crazy and wild, just like WAMC.
Oh, boy.
True. Truly, that's how I describe it.
That was a lovely
answer. No, that is how I describe
it. You were pandering.
It's completely honest. If I have to encapsulate who our target audience is, it is the WAMC listener.
Take it right off, Sarah. Take it right off the logger, and we'll play it as a promo.
Yeah, that sounds good. So now, far as the 18-member...
Let's toss it to these beautiful people. What? Yes.
The 18-member group, yes. How many were from there from the beginning?
Stephen, how many were there from the beginning? Well, today it's a little different, but it varies a little bit. Usually
half a dozen of us, maybe.
Yeah.
So really? Stephen, you were there from the beginning?
I was there from the very first concert.
So when you heard, okay, this is what this new young guy wants to do when he's coming in, what did you think?
Let me just say, Stephen was a young guy too back then. We were both young guys.
No, I meant that, but as far as like, oh, you know, here they're coming in, this, you know.
I thought it was a very cool idea.
Yeah,
you know, I'm a classical musician, like most of us in this, or all of us in the symphony are. But you know, we all grew up surrounded by popular culture.
So this does really have I hate to get boring about this, but it does have a philosophical thing, you know, which is that you're leading people to classical music by using this sort of intervening.
Not at all.
Doesn't feel like
not
that.
At all.
No.
It's what Stephen was just beginning to say about it's a celebrating pop culture. Well, tell us, because I remember you told me about being in rock bands and things like that, and.
That's right. I mean, all of us, you know, grew up in this country anyway, grew up with rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know? So the idea of being in a rock band, which I'd been when I was a teenager, that you've been a rock band now that I had teenagers seemed like a lot of fun to me.
Well, I certainly stand corrected, but I want to make sure that, you know, the people who might find accessibility to the Albany Symphony might get introduced to some of it. By through the Dogs of Desire.
Well, yes, they certainly might.
Sure.
They certainly might get to the Albany Symphony because we're an orchestra that does, you know, new and innovative stuff on all our concerts. To get, you know, introduced to the Cleveland Orchestra playing traditional classical music, that's not really what we're trying to do with the Dogs. Mm-hmm. We're trying to actually create a whole new art world that takes off from where George Gershwin was in 1924 when he wrote Rhapsody in Blue. And I noticed when I was in my 20s that there was this whole group of young composers who were writing music that was very much inspired by popular culture. And I thought, why not really embrace that? And so that's how the Dogs sort of came about. It's kind of like, you know, Rhapsody in Blue 80 years later.
So how has the audience changed in 18 years?
How has the audience changed?
I mean, you talk about what we were trying to do. So have you done it? I mean, it's been almost 2 decades.
I think it's working, but I think it's working not just because of the Dogs of Desire, but because there's a whole trend, as Andrea can tell you, in New York City. There are all sorts of really young groups of young kids, not old guys like Steve and me, but young kids who are getting out of conservatory and forming cool, weird new music ensembles. But I have to say, I wasn't at our board meeting yesterday, but I know that Bunny DeBeer, one of our wonderful board members, when we had the board meeting yesterday, because our board chairman, Marisa, told me this, Bunny said, everybody has to go to the Dogs of Desire. She's probably in her, I don't know, she's probably pushing 80, Bunny. She's a fabulous lady. She lives at Beverwick, and she's a great person. She said, everybody has to see the Dogs of Desire. It's the most incredible thing. If any of you board members haven't seen it, shame on you. You've got to come tomorrow night.
Well, this really sounds unbelievable.
An 80-year-old lady who thinks this is the thing, because it's not just about youth culture or just about rock and roll. It's really about the present and celebrating art of the present.
Now, Andrea, grand aunt, right?
Omaida,
I'm so sorry.
Yes.
Your grand aunt was perhaps the most important of the flamenco dancers. And how did you learn? I mean, did she teach you, or did it just come to your head, or how did it work?
Well, Carmen Amaya passed away in 63, and I was not born yet, but my parents were dancers.
Oh, yes.
My grandfather was a flamenco guitarist. My grandmother was a flamenco singer. So I grew up around flamenco. So I started dancing when I was very young, and I danced with my parents' company. That's how I started.
Wow. Well, and you know, is there an audience in New York City for it?
I think, yes, flamenco is definitely very popular, not only in New York, but in this country, and I would say in all over the world. It's become a very popular dance.
And let me say, you've got to see Omaira do this piece by Andrea. It's just the real deal. I mean, it's unbelievable.
She's incredible.
I wish she danced on the table. That's what I was saying. Yeah.
Why does it involve the table? Why can't you just do it on the floor?
She can do it on the floor.
Oh, okay.
How's your microphone?
No, I was just, okay, just checking.
She can do it on, in the show, she does it on the floor.
Okay,
she does it
all right.
But we'd have to pay even more money to get her
to
dance on the table.
Going on. Yeah, very odd.
I just thought that would be better.
Okay, I got it. Andrea, so how do the two of you work together?
Well, this is our first time working together. Although we met a long time ago. I met actually Omaira when I arrived in the United States. That was in 94. I came for a summer program at Berklee College. And Omaira was there, and I remember her. We had common friends, and I always admire her. And it has always been a dream for me to be able to work with her one day. So today, tomorrow is the day that...
So how does that collaboration go? I mean, what could you tell us about it?
Yeah, well... From the beginning, I knew that I wanted something related to Lorca, who the Spanish writer who inspired me for many, many years. It's a very important figure in Spain and in Portugal. And I knew that I wanted to do something in relation to his texts. And I chose his first book that he wrote when he was still a teenager, which is a very beautiful book about landscapes and impressions while he's traveling through Spain. So I picked a couple of texts that spoke to me and had this atmosphere that I would like to explore. And from that, I took the form of the piece. It's a very theatrical piece. And I want to capture this emotional atmosphere of Lorca's dreamland almost. It's very, very eerie. It's and somber and dark and poetic. So that's how I started in a very theatrical approach to
it. But talk to us about the collaboration thing. I mean, do you critique each other? Do you ask each other? How does that work?
Yes, it's been really fun because as a composer, you know, I have these ideas, very abstract ideas, and then I come to Omaira with very, oh, I like this word, I like these kind of gestures, and she explores and comes back to me and says, what do you think about this? And I say, that's usually we are really in synchrony. I have to say, we really have a very similar approach, to these texts. So we explore words within each text, and she develops those words in terms of gestures and dance, and she asks me musically if it makes for like sense in a formal way.
Could you give us one example of a step that has been developed because of the text?
Yes, many. For instance, the center movement in a piece is called procession. Procession is a very theatrical part of the piece where the ensemble joins in, and Lorca actually mentions the congregation walks through the streets, and they dragging feet, they suffer so much. So I have the ensemble dragging their feet, and they actually humming like if they were in a procession, while Omaira makes these gestures that they capture the suffering and the procession and a funeral march is very internal and raw and intense.
This is terrific. So you, David, so you have the ensemble, as you put it, the dogs,
mm-hmm.
Actually doing things that might be outside their experiential base, like humming or...
Humming, dragging feet.
Humming and dragging our feet.
Whispering, yeah. Speaking Spanish, all sorts of things.
The things we're asked to do in this concert go such the wide gamut between the orchestrobics, the audience participation, and a piece all about... that's basically thrash metal to this very beautifully wrought piece that Andrea has written with the flamenco of Omaira. It's really, it's unbelievable the journey we take. And I should mention also, because Andrea was talking about, there are two female vocalists, two wonderful singers who are part of the dogs always. The premise was that I wanted it to be more like a pop ensemble. So there's a drummer, there isn't a percussionist, there's a drummer on a drum set, and there's synthesizers, and there's these two fabulous female vocalists who do an unbelievable job. So yes. So they're texts, and they sing, and they chant, and they whisper. And
but is it a language issue? Are there language issues? In other words, do they have to...
We're muttering. The orchestra mutters in Spanish.
Yeah, they're doing a great job.
So, and we're just about out of time. Wait, we have less than a minute. But ultimately, you in this case are taking your direction from
the composer.
And understanding when you have to drag your feet and mutter.
We unkennel the composer and then do everything they ask.
Kennel, get it?
Dogs.
Got it. Yeah.
Well, the Dogs of Desire will be performing tomorrow night. It is Friday the 16th at 7:30, and you'll be in the smaller space And the which
but
is,
there's still tickets.
What is it, 500 seats?
Like five, six, yeah, I think maybe 600. Yeah,
600. This really great. Sounds great.
And it's it is 7:30, and tickets available. And you can find out more information by going to albanysymphony.com/American Music Festival. You heard it from Bunny. You can't miss this. You gotta go see it.
Gotta go.
albanysymphony.com/American Music Festival.
I should mention also that the Saturday night concert, there are still tickets, not a lot, but we'd love you to come. It's not just going to be the streaming for Saturday for the
concert. Okay, great. So still get in the door on that. You can find out information about it all, albanysymphony.com, American Music Festival. Andrea, Omira, Stephen, David, thank you so much for being with
us.
Thank
you so much
for having us.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.